Pepper and Dylan Show podcasts are brought to you by Boston Pizza, with locations now open for dine-in service. You can enjoy all your favorites comfortably with additional safety measures in place. Find a location open near you at bostonpizza.com. Yeah.
The Pepper and Dylan Show. Kiss 91.7.
This is all right.
Pepper and Dylan, yeah, you hear them on the radio. They've been together since about 14 years ago. You must be here because you got nowhere else to go.
No.
Thanks for tuning in to the After Show Show.
Welcome to the After Show Show for July 22nd.
So a few things are happening with this podcast over the next little while. Are we able to go and say the big change that's coming? Or is that not something that, like, are we approved to say, because it's we're what, 9 days out from the,
apparently. I mean, I think they're still working behind the scenes, so we don't know for sure.
It won't be this podcast or next week's podcast. It'll be the one after that, which is actually a vacation podcast. So by the time the August, we take a week off in August or during the course of that August long weekend, and then we return. So that podcast on Wednesday, August, blah blah blah. Let me just get my calendar out here. Why won't this open? Face identification.
Oh, no. There we go. Oh, no. Have the 12th.
The 12th, yeah. Have you noticed with the masks, your phones aren't opening as easily anymore?
Well, they don't open with the mask because you need the whole mouth.
Yeah. Is that, so what is it looking at? You think it would look, the phone should look deep into my eyes.
It's doing,
that's
a little
how
bit
it would
of both.
Know who I am.
Yeah, but if someone stole your eyes, you know?
Robbie doesn't know. He's got an iPhone 4. He's
I don't have that sort of technology.
Yeah, so the podcast that will happen on August 12th will probably be the first in the new platform. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what we're permitted to say right now?
Well, that's the thing.
It's not like it's a confidentiality thing,
for
is
people
it?
Who listen, it's not really going to change too much.
Well, the name of it is going to change.
The name will change. It'll still be the same thing. You'll still be able to find it. You'll be able to find it in more places.
Much
that's
easier.
One of the good things.
It'll be much more accessible, and you won't run into the problem that we often have, where sometimes it doesn't post on time, or it doesn't download properly off of iTunes.
Correct? Yeah.
Or off of Apple
Hopefully it's
Podcasts.
More stable. That'd be nice.
Right. So we're going to a new podcast network. We're pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
It's called the Frequency Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. So we will be on that coming up in August, which means we will also be available on Spotify. Correct? Is that right?
That's the hope. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it you can get us on Spotify.
And
on
many
Apple,
other, like a ton of places.
All the different podcast formats. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, with that comes with some of things we're not sure of, but one thing is for certain that the name will change of the podcast. We love After Show Show because of the acronym, and it's been part of what we've done for years, but for one reason or another, that has to change.
Now I'm no longer listening.
Yeah, so instead, we have dropped the offensive ass from our name, and we are now going with one that doesn't offend anybody, and it is just going to be Pepper and Dylan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, just generic.
Plain and simple. Pepper and Dylan.
Easy enough to search.
Not the Pepper and Dylan Show, not Pepper and Dylan Podcast. None of that, just Pepper and Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Easy, searchable, streamlined.
So, that's the one thing. And we don't know if the back catalog previous podcasts will be available, correct?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that.
I think they'll always, no matter what happens until we're fired, they'll be available at kiss917.com.
So you can go there.
No matter what.
So you can always go back far enough.
And should be on iTunes too. Still.
We're hoping the full history of our podcast will be available, because there were some great ones, which segues nicely into what we're doing over the next handful of weeks, is we are highlighting some of the old ones that have were very popular or received a lot of acclaim. That people enjoyed, to give people maybe new to the podcast an opportunity to hear it for the first time.
Right.
Without going back and searching for it. Because this one that we're about to replay is from how long? Quite a while ago, right? Just shortly after the Fort McMurray fires, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like 2019 probably.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Okay, so set up who this is that we're going to speak with on this After Show Show.
This is one of the, I always found him to be one of the more inspirational. He had so many great little nuggets throughout the interview that if you listen to, it's just like little simple things that you can apply to your life. But it is the Fort McMurray man, Tony Bussey, who lost 330 pounds after the 2016 fires.
See, I don't remember much of this interview. So because when you
really
say he lost 330 pounds, it kind of, I think that there's no way that's real. That sounds like an impossible amount of weight to lose.
Yeah. And so 330 pounds is what he ended up losing by. And I can't remember exactly, but walking and cutting out some of the dietary things that he was doing.
Right.
He wore size 66 pants. He once weighed 567 pounds. He ended up writing a book and everything about his life transformation. And he was all over. Everyone was trying to interview him during this time because it's such an amazing journey to see him in that famous picture holding up the pants next to him that he once wore. But the reason was that leaving the Fort McMurray fires, He really got a...
They had to evacuate.
They had to evacuate, and he took up two seats.
Because he lived in Fort McMurray.
Right.
During the evacuation.
Yeah.
On the airplane. Or, on the way out.
And on the way out, he had to take a plane, and he had to take up two seats because he was so big. And, right. And he took away somebody's spot to evacuate.
Right. And that's what hit him.
And he put somebody else in danger or delayed somebody else's evacuation. And that's what did it for him and motivated him to lose all the weight. And he goes into detail in this conversation that we have with him. So... without further ado, should we just roll it, I guess?
Yeah, it's so good.
This is the inspiring story of Tony Bussey from Fort McMurray losing over 300 pounds. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello there.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
So we're clear. How do you pronounce your last name, Tony?
It's Bussey.
Bussey.
Just Bussey.
Okay. How old a guy are you, Tony?
I'm 43.
Okay. And you're in Fort McMurray?
Yes.
We've all seen your story. You must have gotten quite the response from people after this positive story that came out over the weekend.
Oh, yes. It's been quite crazy the last couple of days, I will admit, but good type of crazy. It's been really encouraging.
We've got a ton of questions we want to ask you, and I just came across it the other night. I was in bed, and I read this, and I was like, this is unbelievable.
Thank you.
And then the pictures, when you see the pictures, like, it's talking about the story is one thing, but when you see the pictures, it's just, it is it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's, I look back on it sometimes myself, and I can't believe that I was actually that size.
At your heaviest, how heavy were you?
567 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's insane.
I mean, no disrespect, but how does one get to that size?
Eating every imaginable bit of junk food you could get in you.
But what would you be eating in a day? Like, because I eat a ton of junk food.
I would come off a night shift and go to the convenience store and get a bag of chips and a couple of chocolate bars. You go to a fast food place and you get five pieces of fried chicken, a couple orders of onion rings. You go to you get two or three donuts. It was constant.
Like daily,
over and over, yeah. It's just, it was almost becoming like a drug. Being that size, you're constantly miserable.
Right. At what point did you lose control? And like, do you remember a point where it didn't matter anymore, or would it just sneak up on you?
It just basically snuck up on me. It seemed like once you hit a certain weight, then it just ballooned. You gain faster and faster. You're constantly at cravings for junk food. I drank a lot of pop. I was constantly drinking diet pop, 8, 9, 10 cans a day.
Pop's the killer, right?
Oh, pop is horrible.
I am convinced. I don't know if you agree with me or not. And Tony, after going through this evolution that you have, losing all the weight you have, but I am of the belief that in our lifetimes, we will see a ban on pop. It would be like cigarettes, right?
Mm. Oh, yes. At least come with some warnings.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I found with diet pop and my own experiences is like the more I drank, the more cravings I had for junk food.
Right.
Whether that's true or not, but that's the way I felt.
You get that sugar spike.
Now, you wore a size 66 pants. Like, when did this...
Actually, I couldn't fit in those pants anymore.
Holy Tony. So at what point, though, like in high school, were you big?
I was not overly, about normal. Then in my 20s, I kind of got up to about the 300 pounds, 320, 330. I was heavy, but not obese like I ended up being.
I read a quote that you said, you were sitting and waiting to die, basically.
Basically. When you're that size, that's all you're doing.
We saw
you have no life. You can't enjoy things. Like even going to the movie theater with my daughter, she had to sit two seats over because I'm filling into her seat.
Wow.
So you have a daughter?
Yes. She lives in Red Deer.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 17.
She's 17. Just the one child?
Yes.
And you have a wife?
No.
I think you're the most eligible bachelor available right now. After all these pictures, everyone is talking about you.
Well, I said to somebody last night on Facebook, and they mentioned that, and I said I should go on, say, Newfoundland Bachelor, and instead of handing out Rose, you hand out Caitlin or a moose license. But, yeah, I'm single. I'm single.
And are you single because, the mother of your daughter, did you divorce because of the weight, or was it something completely unrelated?
Oh, that was, we were never married, but we broke it. That was, 10, 12 years ago. That was a long time ago. Just different issues, but,
So what did you, with your daughter, you're a role model, right?
And I try to be.
Yeah, and but you're battling this weight issue, and do you teach her? How do you teach her about a healthy lifestyle as she's growing up when you're not exhibiting a healthy lifestyle? Or did you? Or were you completely unaware of a healthy lifestyle?
You can't. You can't. I mean, it'd be like teaching somebody not to smoke, but you're on your third cigarette. You can't teach if you're not living the example yourself.
Right.
It's just. I have a lot of regrets because I couldn't enjoy a lot of things with her when she was young. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to take her down to Callaway Park or Galaxy Land, and I couldn't get on any of the rides with her when she was little.
So did you, was it something you constantly thought about? Like, so when you woke up, were you like, I got to do something about this, and didn't get around to it because of laziness, because of such a big task ahead of you?
No, not laziness, just you felt trapped. You felt like there was no way to get out of it. You felt hopeless. I would get up for work in the morning and stand by my bed for 20 minutes and just let the circulation try to go through my legs.
Right.
Get out of breath walking to my car. You just felt hopeless. And that's why I kept eating junk food and so on, because for those brief few minutes that you would
eat good.
Those chicken wings or whatever, you would feel happy just for those few minutes.
You'd get that high, right? That, did you have type 2 diabetes? Were you diagnosed diabetic?
No, I went and seen my doctor, and I was very fortunate. I thought for sure I would have it because I was displaying all the symptoms, but they did a bunch of tests and so on, and I came back negative, so I was very, very happy with that.
And then all of a sudden, there's fires in Fort McMurray.
Yes.
And everybody's got to evacuate.
Yes, I was up at camp. This was my second evacuation. We weren't allowed back into the city, but the fires were seeming to die down a bit, so they brought us back to work, try to get the place up and running. But when we were up there, the fires, as we all know, they kind of took a life of its own, and they just started raging again. So they started to evacuate the camps. A couple camps were already on fire, and they started to evacuate our camps, and that's when I really hit my rock bottom, right there.
What happened? How did you hit rock bottom? What signaled that this is it? You've been living with this for 43 years. It's time to make a change.
It's when I got on the bus. When the buses showed up, they took me from the back of a line for this bus and put me in the front of the line. And I'm assuming that was because of my size. It was abnormally hot that May. And I mean, probably good on them. They didn't want me passing out in that heat, being almost 600 pounds. But
right.
I got on the bus and I got in the seat, but they couldn't sit anybody next to me. I was like in a movie theater. I was overfilling into the next seat.
Right.
So here you are, you're sitting on a bus. You have this empty seat, but you look out the window and you see all of these people waiting to evacuate. People's loved ones, wives, husbands, family members. They're looking to get to Edmonton or Calgary, home with their families. It's a very stressful situation. And here I am on the bus, too fat to sit next to. And it was the same thing with the plane. Too fat to sit next to.
Right.
Taking up somebody's valuable spot.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Now somebody has to wait longer. We didn't know how much longer at the time. Planes were landing, picking up people, and then more planes were landing, and these planes took off. They were getting out, but who knows how long these other people were going to have to wait. So now one other person has got to wait hours because I'm too fat to sit next to.
Did you break down? Was there a breakdown moment where you ended up crying and just releasing it and go like, I have got to? Or was it just like a reflective moment because you've already knew everything that was happening?
It was more reflective. I didn't break down or anything, but when I got off the plane that evening in Edmonton and the whole time, hours before that, sitting on the bus and on the plane and the wait times, I had a lot of time to think. And I got off the plane that evening and I was like, okay, this is enough. I got to change. I can't keep living my life like this because life is not meant to live like that. You're basically, I mean, like I've said before, the fire, for all its destruction and the heartache that it caused a lot of people, it saved my life because I was living a borrowed time.
That's the irony of it. So you have to have, though, Tony, over the years of you weighing as much as you weighed, you have to have had that conversation with yourself and it went unfulfilled. Like, you have to have some point have said, I've got to change something. Why did this one stick compared to the other ones?
I don't know. I just started. I think it was the first time with the effects of seeing those people waiting and the effect that had on me.
Yeah, because you visually, like you were able to see them right there in front of you, whereas before it was you against you in a lot of ways and maybe you against ridicule. But there, you got to see the actual faces of people who didn't get to leave.
Oh, yes, and you're actually seeing the people that my life choices have affected now.
Right.
I'm actually putting them in danger now.
What is it like, just because, and I do mean no disrespect, but like everyday things, like walking upstairs, showering, going to the washroom, like are all those things just that much more difficult?
Oh, it was horrible. Like at camp, for example, they had a shower in the room at camp. I couldn't barely turn around. Excuse me. I couldn't barely turn around in the shower. I couldn't wash myself completely.
Right.
The bed was a little twin bed. I lied on the bed, and as soon as I got on the bed, I could hear a little crack.
Right, right, right.
I couldn't put socks on anymore.
So
you're going to work without socks on your feet in steel-toe boots.
Oh, jeez.
You know, all of these things. I could barely fit in my car, my vehicle that I bought. I bought a Dodge Charger, but I bought that because it's the only thing I could fit in.
Did you have to try multiple vehicles before settling?
I tried a couple, but that's the one they brought up, and I got. And they said whether it's true or not, but it made sense. They said they made them a little bigger for cops to carry their gear inside.
Right.
So I got in it, and I could barely. I had the seat slid way back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was a power seat. Was right put down to the floor, and I would have to leave the sunroof visor open, because my head would stick up and hit the glass because my butt was that big.
Oh, my
holy.
You know, like, that's, it's all these little things. You know, you go to a movie theater, like I said, you can only go to a theater if you can put the armrest up.
So did you not leave your house a lot? Was there a lot
not
of depression lot. That came along with this?
Oh, yes.
Had to.
Oh, yes.
Had to.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. When you're that size, you don't want to be seen by anybody.
Right.
I mean, you go to a grocery store and you could hear little kids saying, "Well, hey, mommy, why is that man so big?"
Right, right. And the stairs and the...
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So you see this, you see people as you're leaving on the bus sitting there and they can't get home to their family members. You see it happen again on the plane and then you land and you say, I got to change something. What happened? Because all natural is the thing that stuck out to me the most.
All natural.
So what happened? What did you do? What was the steps? Where did you go from there?
I started walking. I had a couple of friends tell me, they just said, just start walking, just even if it's just 5 minutes. Now, for me, that was difficult because, like I said, just walking to my car, I used to get out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no choice anymore. So I just started walking, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I changed my diet drastically. I cut out all sugar. I cut out all pop. I don't eat much salt. I cut out breads, pasta. I cut out all junk food. I haven't touched junk food in almost 2 years.
How difficult was that?
It was difficult at first. For the first couple of weeks, it's almost like you're going through withdrawal. I was getting headaches and so on. But I stuck with it. And then when I kept at it, even and during the evacuation, now you basically, like, I was staying in a hotel, so you're basically eating at restaurants quite a bit.
Yeah.
But you can still eat healthy at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I go to Swiss Chalet. I'm not sure if I can say restaurant names, but I go to Swiss Chalet, and I get a double-egg chicken dinner, but instead of having fries, I will get the veggies.
Right.
And you just take the skin off the chicken. Mm-hmm. So now you're just basically having roast chicken with veggies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
And water and black coffee.
So when did you start to notice a different, like, when did you, the first moment of motivation after you had changed your lifestyle, was there like a scale moment, a mirror a moment, a feeling better moment? Like, when did you start to go like, okay, this is something I can do? Because I imagine at 567 pounds, doing this, you're not seeing results quick enough for immediate happiness.
Well, within the first month, we were allowed back to Fort McMurray, I think it was June the 10th or something. And when I went back to work, the only scale that I could weigh myself on was a warehouse scale.
Oh my.
So I went into the warehouse and I weighed myself. And for the first time in years, I had lost weight. I was down 30 pounds within a month.
Yeah, because just like you said, how the weight just kept coming on and on so quickly. When you're that big, it's exponential.
It's got to melt away
just as quickly, right?
Well, it's almost like it's not meant to be on your body.
Right.
As soon as you give your body some help and some encouragement, it just throws it off.
If I can interrupt for a second, if anybody is struggling with weight right now and that is listening to this podcast, that's a good point to make.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that these first steps, as difficult as they are, they're the most important.
Yeah.
Well, usually.
And they have the biggest benefits to them.
Usually. Yeah. And by September, I had 100 pounds gone.
So in 2 months, you had lost 100 pounds?
3 months, yeah.
3 months?
Maybe, 3 months, maybe, 100 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
And then so when
in the end of September.
When that's you saw that, the motivation would have come. You just continued walking. There was no gym, no exercise. It was eating right and walking. For how long?
I still do it.
That's the exact same thing you're doing today?
Yes. I haven't joined the gym. I'm waiting. I have to get skin surgery eventually. And after that, I want to join a gym and start toning up and so on. But right now, I do the exact same thing that I did when I started this.
How has your life changed? I mean, obviously, you have all these news outlets reporting on you right now. But aside from that, how has your life changed to your day-to-day?
Well, I can do the simple things. I can, last week, I fit into a size 34 jean for the first time in my life.
Holy smokes.
You can go to a normal clothing store and buy normal clothes. Like before, I would go to a George Richards or a Big and Tall store. Mm-hmm. When you go in there and they don't have clothes that fit you, it's very humbling.
The Big and Tall stores didn't have clothes that would fit you.
No, because a lot of times they just carry 5X shirts. So I would go in, I would need a 6X. They didn't always have them.
Wow.
So would you have to special order them online? And
no, I just wait. I had 3 or 4 shirts that I just kept washing.
So, and it's the little things, but like what at the end of all of this, where you're at right now, and I know the journey's still continuing, but what are you most pleased with? Like, I can imagine just turning around in a shower. I would be twirling like you wouldn't believe.
There's two things I can tell you that three things actually that I'm really most pleased with. One is very simple, but it's the ability to put socks on again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything, if you can go around with no pain in your feet, everything else in life during the day is just easier.
Yeah, the pain, right?
Yeah, did you have back pain and like were you constantly uncomfortable?
Knee pain?
Oh, yes, constantly uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
And secondly, the ability to travel. Like this past winter, like if the roads were really bad, what I would do, I would just get on a plane and fly down to Calgary.
Right.
And rent a vehicle and just drive up to Red Deer and see my, she lives in Lacombe now, and see my daughter. Mm-hmm. Before, I couldn't do that because I couldn't fit on a plane. And even if you did buy 2 seats and you get to an airport, there's no guarantee that they got a vehicle to fit you. So then you're stuck.
Is that something you had to do commonly, is buy 2 seats on a commercial airplane?
Well, I never flew much. I'm originally from Newfoundland, and for me to go home, I would have to drive.
Oh,
because I didn't want to even if I did buy two seats on a plane, I did want to get a Newfoundland, and then for them not to have a rental car that could fit me.
Right.
Then I'm stuck.
Yeah, right. a lot of planning when you're obese.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even think of any of this.
Usually. I remember years ago, I took my daughter down to Victoria, and then I get to the airport, and I asked the lady at the rental agency, I said, do you have a vehicle to fit me? And she said, well, how many people do you have? And I said, you're not understanding the question. I mean, to fit me.
Right.
And she gave me a handful of keys, and she just said, go out into the lot and try them all out.
Try it on cars.
Right.
See if you fit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And what is that third thing?
Number three.
Oh, it's just the feeling of being normal. Just, you know, people want to be extraordinary. They want to do extraordinary things, especially. But for a big piece, a person, and an obese person like I was, you just want to be normal. You want to fit in. You don't want to be, you know, stared at. You don't want to be any different than anybody else when you go into a movie theater or a grocery store or anywhere. And just the feeling that I can go out right now and just be like everybody else, it's amazing.
Is there any concern of a relapse happening with you?
No.
Because you lived it for so long and you feel so much better?
Well, it's just my biggest disadvantage for years was my weight. Now that's my biggest advantage because the pain, the memories of being that size is so ingrained in my head that I don't want anything to do with junk food. I don't want anything to do with any of that bad eating. The diet that I'm on now, I can stay eating the rest of my life.
Right.
So you don't have any cravings?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's amazing.
I could sit
that's
down
amazing
with you
to
right
me.
Now and watch you eat a tub of ice cream, and it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Oh, so, okay. And that was my other question. So you can drive down the street past, like, there's a spot in St. Albert in
What do you call it?
Fast Food Alley.
Yeah.
It's the Triangle, right? Or the Triangle of Doom. And, like, I'll drive through it. Every time I drive through it, I'm like, I want to stop at every single one of these. Right. And I don't really have a food addiction in any way, but no. I like junk. And,
sure.
But you're not even, you don't bat an eye. You can drive right past. You can sit in front of somebody eating a burrito, and you're just like, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Good, enjoy, knock yourself out.
No problems. Yeah. I mean, I still go to Tim Hortons. I'll get my coffee.
Right.
And instead of having three sugar, three cream like you used to have,
yeah.
I'll get half a cream or black,
right.
and I'll have a bowl of chili.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, so,
tons of chili.
So what, moving forward, I read that you were looking at, for your five-year anniversary, to run a half marathon, was it?
I want to run a marathon.
Yes. A full marathon?
Yeah.
Oh,
whether full or half, I'm not sure. But
Tony, sure. You've got nothing to prove. Don't put yourself through that, Tony. You don't need to prove anything more.
Does your body feel great now? Like, did the aches and pains go away?
Everything is gone. It feels amazing. My skin is cleared up. I was getting a lot of dark skin up on my forehead, around my eyes.
Yeah. Right.
And people used to think it was like dirt. But it was just my skin having a reaction, I guess, to the lack of nutrition.
Like toxins.
Yeah, just general unhealthy lifestyle.
Oh, yes.
How and proud is you? Oh, go ahead.
Cleared up. No, I'm saying that's all cleared up. I don't have any aches or pains. I feel amazing, like a brand new man.
How proud is your daughter?
Oh, she's over the moon. She's pretty happy to have her dad back. And yeah, I'm going to be around.
So at your peak weight, you were how much again? 567?
567 pounds. I've lost 326 pounds so far, and right now my weight's 241.
Do you have a goal weight? Because I think it, like, if you're sitting into 34 jeans, I mean, it's yes. Perfectly okay, but do you have a goal that's different than where you are now?
I would like, when it's all said and done, I want to weigh about 180.
About 180. And don't you have some skin that weighs a lot too that you can get removed?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, yes. Yes, my family doctor figures I have about 20 to 30 pounds of loose skin. I joke around. I tell people I look like a wet towel with my clothes off.
Right.
Just so, hanging off there. But,
what do you do with that? That sounds like that could be an uncomfortable surgery, isn't it?
It's going to be two or three different surgeries. I'm on a wait list right now for that. So I'm not sure the details on it. I've seen some before and after pictures of some other people, and they look amazing after it's done.
But you're to a plastic surgeon would obviously, a specialist would take care of that.
But that's the big reason why I don't run right now, because skin kind of flops around like a flag. But.
I'm looking at these pictures, and they are unbelievable. Yes. I have a question, and you don't have to answer it, but I kind of want to ask it, and it might not be appropriate. But like, what about your sex life? Did you?
That's a legit question.
Could you even? Yeah. Could you even reach? I guess at that point.
Oh, you can't. You can't have sex that big. I mean, like two big pillows trying to get out of you, even.
Right.
it's so physiologically, it's almost impossible to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Just and the angles aren't there, Dylan.
Sure.
No, the angles are definitely not there, but you don't even have the confidence to go out and talk to women.
Right. So you had nothing for years then?
It's been a long time. But now I'm just starting to get confidence back.
I was just going to say, what about now, Tony? Like, confident Tony is going to be dating pretty easily, I would think.
Yeah, Newfoundland bachelor.
There you go. You look amazing. Like, you look from the pictures, and I don't know you, but it's so you look like you're 20 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I feel great. It's weight not only is unhealthy, but it ages you.
Oh, of course, just being unhealthy in general, yeah.
So, yeah, it ages you big time. Because not only are you heavy, but you're unhappy.
Yeah. Right.
People that are unhappy, they look older.
Right.
You know, it's when you're happy, you start to feel younger.
Yeah. 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 When you see somebody now, obese or morbidly obese like you were, or what thought goes in your head, and do you think of saying anything? Do you think of talking to them and encouraging them, or do you what do you think when you see somebody like that?
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah,
because I know what they're going through.
Right.
Because with obesity, unlike say alcoholism or drug addiction or any other type of addiction, mm-hmm. it's a lot harder to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide being 500 or 600 pounds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can hide being an alcoholic. You can hide being a drug addict, but you can't hide that. So I feel sorry for them because I know exactly what they're going through. And I have talked to some people, but I usually wait for them to approach me. I don't because I know what it's like to be approached, because a lot of times people don't show much tact about it. They just come up and say, hey, man, you're real fat. You know, it's like it's hurtful.
Right.
Really? People would just come up to you and just hurt your feelings just for the sake of hurting your feelings. Like, why don't you go on a diet? Like, people would just say that just randomly out of nowhere.
Not often, but I've had people in the past. I remember I had a gentleman one time. I had a vehicle there, and he came up and he swore and he said, how do you fit in that effing car?
Yeah.
You're too effing fat. Just like that.
And at that point, I mean, because you're in the midst of it.
Yes.
Did you feel different than you do today? Like hearing that at that point, I mean, that's going to add to depression. That's going to add to addiction. But now, like when you hear that, would you look back on it and go like, well, I was super fat. And hearing that is probably something that you would want to hear or not want to hear now that you're looking back.
Well, looking back, it's still not nice to say to somebody. I mean, because that person that's that overweight, they're dealing with enough that day.
Right.
They know they're big. They don't need to.
There's better ways to motivate somebody than that.
You don't know what this person is dealing with.
Oh, no, because they're dealing with normal life problems that everybody else is dealing with, plus their weight.
Yeah.
They know they're big. They don't need to be reminded of it. They see that and know that. It's constantly in their mind.
So then there's a lot of us that struggle with weight.
Yes.
Likely listening. What would you say to them?
There's hope.
There is hope.
There's hope. You're never too old or too big to start over in anything that you're struggling with. I used to lie on the couch here by myself and think it's hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I started this when I was 41, almost 600 pounds. And it was no trick to it. It was just eating better and walking.
Did you dream of this day often? Did you like
every day?
You would dream of it and envision it. And does it feel as good as that dream?
It feels 100 times better. I feel like somebody should pinch me.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It feels surreal. Like I keep mentioning it, but every day when I get up just to put socks on,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this can't be happening.
You love
this
the
can't
socks.
Be real.
He loves the socks.
Well, oh, yeah. Socks, yeah. Nothing feels
I go
better.
I go to the store and I buy extra. I got about 40 pairs of socks in my dress just to have them. I don't even need them.
That's fantastic.
I love buying socks.
Did you get rid of all the clothes? Did you just say goodbye? Like, because right now I have I have my 32s that are in my closet.
As a motivation.
Yeah, that I have not gotten rid of because I want to fit into them again. But every time I drop a little bit, I just went down from 36s to 34s again.
Oh wow, great.
Yeah, and I haven't got rid of the 36s because I'm I'm not sure yet.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
might need them again.
So did you keep them or just that pair of pants where I love the picture of you standing in your old pants.
Oh, that picture of your old pants.
I kept the one pair of jeans. That pair of jeans is size 66.
Right.
And I kept one shirt the size 6X, and I kept one winter jacket that was size 6X, but I couldn't even do it up.
Wow.
And really? I kept that. So I know every once in a while I just go and I just put it on and just to remember type of thing. And I keep that. Everything else, all my other clothes, the really big clothes in the beginning, and I just threw it out because who's going to wear stained up size 6X shirt? I mean, but as I gradually lost weight and 4X became too big and 3X become too big, I would just bring it down to the Salvation Army or so on and just donate it there.
Did you ever talk to a doctor just to see how much life you added?
No, I do have a family doctor, but I never did ask her that. I should have. I never even thought to ask.
Did you consult her, though, as you were going to see if this was all safe, or did this was all just Tony being Tony?
In the beginning, I had a couple tests because I was getting symptoms of what I thought was diabetes. So I went and I got checked on that and some other things. But no, mostly just myself, just kept at it.
Key to emphasize too, just going for walks.
Right.
That's it.
Right? Like not sprinting to the end.
Right, right, right.
Lifting weights and doing CrossFit and all that. Just going for walks. Simple walks.
Yeah, I don't even. What I would do is I would walk, and I still do it. I would walk along the sidewalks, and then later I would take my car and use an odometer and see how far I went.
And so where are you at now? What is a typical walk for you today?
Typically, right now, it's 4 to 5 kilometers a day when I'm on days off. When I'm working, it's a little more difficult, but I get a lot of exercise at work. And sometimes I'll push it and I'll do 10 kilometers, 12 kilometers in one walk.
Wow. You get to reflect, too. Self-reflection while
you're doing it. I love it. Just walking around, and I don't carry any music or anything. I just walk.
Probably more productive at work now?
Oh, hugely. Yes.
What about your friends? What about your bosses? What about your coworkers? Like, is everyone just shocked? Was everyone cheering you on the whole way through?
Oh, they're really supportive, really excited. I'll see friends now, like in the hallway. Say we'll work a different shift. They don't recognize me, and they'll come up. I might have seen them in a month, a couple months. And they'll come up and shake my hands, holy F, they're bussy in you. Things like that. Sometimes they'll get a little embarrassed because, 2 years ago I was 300 pounds heavier than them. Now they're 20 pounds heavier than me. So.
Right.
That's showing them up. Right.
Yes. Yeah, nice. So that feels good. I got to admit.
Did you get a new car yet? You got something?
Not yet. No, not yet. I think I'm going to hang on to that car for a little while longer, but I do like the car. But
they can move the seat up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to see. I'm like an old grandmother. I got to see barely see over it. Oh, yeah, it's great.
You know, your story could motivate a lot of people, Tony. I think that, that might be something you want to explore. Like, that could be, you could go and talk to a bunch of people who are struggling with the same thing you were. And
I would love to sound,
in this half hour or whatever we spent talking to you, you make it sound, not simple.
No.
But you make it sound achievable
and realistic.
Mm-hmm. And realistic.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely realistic. And if all through this, all these interviews and publicity, if even just one person hearing this that's 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds overweight, if they can get their life back, that's worth more to me than anything.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just one person, I'd be, just to say to one person out there, things are not hopeless. You can change whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, whether you're 300, 400, 200 pounds overweight. It's easily, well, not easily, but it's well within your reach to do.
Well, I can't wait to hear.
If you can't afford it, you don't need a gym membership, it's just walk.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. I love that. I really think that makes such a difference. And just looking at these, like, I've been looking at the pictures of the whole interview and scrolling up and down on the CBC link. And just your smile.
Yep.
Oh,
how happy you are.
Yeah, you can just tell, like, that you're living a life that you're now proud of.
Oh, I'm extremely happy. I'm relieved. That old life is over. It's done. It's for years you're wishing for this day, and now this day is here.
Yeah.
It's an happiness. I can't describe it half the time. It's just extremely happy. Mm. Like, life is not meant to be lying on a couch, eating yourself to an early grave.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be enjoyed, meant to meet all the beautiful people out there and see places. The world's a wonderful place.
Is there bucket list items now that you couldn't do before that now you're sitting back and going like, all right, this is now a reality. I can now do blank.
Oh, I travel. And I want to travel, and I want to go to events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen an NHL game. I want to see the Oilers play. And part of the reason why I wouldn't do that is because I didn't know, but I always assumed the seats were really small. So I didn't want to get there and not be able to fit.
Right.
Well, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of these things, but just travel. That's what I want to do, just travel. Just see I'm a bit of a history buff.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see the historical places in the world.
Nice.
That I would always read about. So I'm in a process right now of getting my passport, and then I'm just going to start traveling.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, Tony, thank you very much. I think I love it. I think it's great.
I really do.
It's a great story. It's motivating, and it's not just motivating for people who have weight issues, like to help you quit anything or improve anything. Right? It's certainly achievable. So thank you.
And one thing I want to say, kind of talking about the fire and stuff, and. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you to everybody that helped during the fire. It was greatly appreciated.
Well, yeah, the country and Alberta and Edmonton came very, very strong to support.
Edmonton, yes, the whole country, but Edmonton, I stayed in Edmonton and Red Deer, and both of those places were amazing. Everything from discounts on hotels to people paying for your meal at restaurants to people from Edmonton coming up towards Fort McMurray that night and giving out water and apples and stuff. Although at the time, I was kind of wishing they were going to have given out pop and chips. But I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, we look forward to hearing when you finally hit that target weight and run that marathon, Tony.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Oh, we will keep in touch, Tony. Thanks for adding us on Facebook, and thanks just for being open and honest.
Yes, no problem. Thank you.
Good job. Thanks,
Thank
Tony.
Thank you for your interest. Thank you.
You Bye-bye. Got it. All right, see ya. What a nice guy.
What an inspiration.
So motivating.
I know. It's amazing. But like, here's, in all honesty, mm-hmm. as I'm listening to him talk,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't sound like he's doing things too much differently than I am
when
he was gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like fast food.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like and then cookies, it spirals out of control.
Like chips.
Mm-hmm.
And I found more recently than ever in my life that it makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat something
so,
that makes you feel
so
good.
So temporarily, that sugar spike.
Sure.
Just it's like you chase it.
Right.
I can see how anybody, anybody who's got that slightly addictive personality or just have the taste buds that love a chicken wing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's difficult
to
do that.
Yeah, I'm there.
Right, absolutely. So. I can't, I kudos to him. But being that way, I don't know if I could find the motivation.
What I love hearing about it is to do it and the impact that it had and the effect that it had by just doing it naturally and just going for walks.
I know.
We often think about losing weight. We're like, oh, I couldn't even. I'm good. Like, I don't want to go to the gym today. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to you know what?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to go to the gym. Even if I'm just walking around the track for a little while or something, it's better than nothing.
Full disclosure, as soon as I saw this over the weekend, I've now walked every single night
good
since
for you.
I read this.
Have you?
Now, I did not walk a lot. I'm not going to boast proudly with that. But every night I got out for a walk since reading this.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with around my block, then it started around my block and neighborhood, and I'm currently still at my block and neighborhood.
What was it? It was Adam, right? Adam McHale?
Yes.
We used to work with Adam McKay. He's got that story because he was a heavy guy growing up. And he challenged himself one day to walk to, because he grew up on like an acreage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he challenged himself to walk to the next lamppost. And he just added a lamppost every week.
Right.
And next thing he knew, he was walking 10, 15 kilometers like Tony was. And he'd lost all the weight as well.
Yeah, well, I think about it right now.
Challenges, right?
Because we don't walk a ton in at all. Like, we use our cars. This is a car city.
8 months of the year, I'm not going outside.
Right? Like, you go from your driveway to the grocery store, back to your driveway. And we try to park as close as we humanly can and take as few steps as we can. So, I don't know. I loved it. Tony, that was amazing.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't understand, too, is, like, when you feel like you're kind of, like, out of control, once you start doing something, you feel addicted to the results.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you'll just want to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and it gets easier over time.
Well, that would be the hard part for me, because I would feel like if I have a great week of going to the gym,
right,
I'll treat myself.
Oh, sure.
Right? And I'll spoil myself. But then I can be like, oh, no, it's easy, man. What's one? What's two? What's three? What's four? So I'm the opposite. I don't get addicted to the results. I get addicted to the reward. And then sometimes the reward takes over the effort.
See, I'm not like that. When I'm going to the gym, I eat healthy and I want to keep going on that pace. But when I have like a lazy week, I'll eat terribly.
Right.
And then it just spirals out of control.
That's a problem.
I got to burn my garage down, I think, is my problem. That seems to be the biggest thing.
Well, we thank Tony very much, because that was a great story. Oh, wow. Again, this is kind of the direction that we would love to, and it's not as easy as it sounds, but we would love to take the after show in. And we have interesting people telling us their interesting stories on this podcast, because it gives us an opportunity to go into it. And it's sometimes difficult to get a hold of some people. I know, Robbie, we've reached out to Brian Ballmer for Dylan.
Yeah,
I'm
doing my best.
What?
Yeah. You got to get the Ballmer,
man. Oh, would that be the best?
Try and get Brian Ballmer on a future podcast. So,
fingers crossed.
But if you think of anybody that you'd like to hear from, or you know anybody, sure, or maybe you also have an interesting story to tell, we would let you please email us at mornings@kiss917.com or at pepper@kiss917.com.
Any way you can.
Facebook us, and we'll try and get you on, because we'd love to hear interesting stories that we think are interesting to other people as well. Motivating.
I was thinking just like of topics, like of just things. Like, if you know someone that's been in a plane crash, right? You know somebody that has gone to like the Playboy Mansion, or like anything that's really, really interesting. The story that you would hear at a party that you go like, oh my goodness, we could dive into that even further.
Yep.
And we just get a long opportunity to talk to someone. So, like Tony, like, I loved this. This was amazing. Yep, what a guy.
Good to talk to. Very inspirational. So thank you very much for listening to the After Show.
The Pepper and Dylan Show.
Weekday mornings on KISS 917.